Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. With multiple crises such as climate change, economic inequality, war, pandemics, social upheaval, and the rise of authoritarianism and fascism converging to create what today's guest terms the dark night of the globe, it's clear that humanity is at the cusp of a major turning point. With me today to discuss this urgent topic is internationally renowned religious scholar, teacher, author, and founder and director of the Institute for Sacred Activism, Andrew Harvey, whose latest book, Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism, and the Renewal of the World, co-authored with former psychotherapist and professor of psychology and history, Carolyn Baker, makes it abundantly clear that the actions we take now could either lead to the extinction of the human race or the rebirth and transfiguration of humanity. Andrew Harvey, welcome.
What a beautiful introduction. Sandy, thank you. Thank you. You fill my heart with joy. Thank you.
Joy. And that is going to be part of today's show as well, because joy is something that we are all badly in need of, and reminding how we get there.
No, because joy is the essential nature of reality, the essential nature of God, and it is to experience that joy in its fullness that we have come in heart, mind, soul, and body, so that we can live as divine human beings, co-creating with the divine in great joy a holy new way of being and doing everything. That's Absolutely. The key, the foundation. If we can't imagine that joy and take the journey to feel it, we're missing the essence of what it is to be here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about joy, because everything you say is absolutely true. And at the same time, I think
we all know it, don't we?
We know it. And I think that's what makes people anxious and fearful, because we know it's there, but we can't find it half the time.
But we're not looking in the right ways.
No.
There are such simple ways of looking, and that is to have a true spiritual practice. Joy will reveal itself.
This book is made up of four other books. It's a quartet. Yeah. And the second part of that, the second book, a symphony, yes, absolutely, is Return to Joy, The Journey Beyond Happiness. So let's start there, because
Actually, it was the first book we wrote.
That is the first book you
That's
wrote?
That's the first book we wrote, because I thought the first one that was the cornerstone.
Okay.
Let's talk about joy then.
Let's talk about joy. I mean, you make an important distinction between happiness and joy. What is the difference?
I think it's very simple. Happiness comes and goes. Joy is what remains when you discover it, because joy isn't caused by anything but the nature of reality itself and a living experience of that nature that is so beautiful, so filled with love, so on our side, so absolutely committed to our renewal, our regeneration, that all you can possibly feel when you feel and know that is overwhelming joy, because you know that the universe and the creator of the universe is radiating that amount of energy and love to you at all moments. And all you need to do is to turn up in the relationship and keep that channel alive in whatever way that's most natural for you. And you have access to the secret essence of reality at all moments, if you choose. And it's that makes war, changes everything.
It does. And it's very interesting how it's not until we experience some challenging times
and
that we then find the joy in the smaller things in life.
Yes. Mm. Isn't that such an important truth to try and understand as deeply as possible? Yeah. And my life is a kind of exploration of that truth, because what I've come to know on my journey is that the worse it gets, the better it's actually getting. When things explode in my life, I take them as warnings of what I have not looked at in myself and what I've not healed. And that gives me direct direction to do the work that then can clear what creates those crazy events and obstacles.
Hmm. In Return to Joy, you talk about the myriad flames of joy. Tell me about those.
Well, I'll just pick some flames out of the air. The first flame I think that we can all get joyful about is nature. Let's just walk out and breathe and look at a tree with reverence and communicate with the spirit of that tree. It could be by the side of a highway. You'll experience the essence of what's going on. And it's not misery, my friends. It's joy in action. It's joy creating a world in perfect interdependence and harmony and exquisite beauty. That's what's here right now.
That's and what we've forgotten.
Aligning with that and fueling yourself from that joy is what gives you the guts to go on what all of us now have to go on. If we're going to be lovers and responsible adults and elders, we've got to go into a descent into what's actually going on. But you can't go down as deep as you need to go down if you're not fueled by the joy that is the truth. That gives you the guts to face anything and to see the gold in the dark.
Mm,
gives you the guts and the eyes.
Mm? Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about how do we find joy when everything around us seems joyless. For many people, they just need that one thing, that little starting point. What would you recommend?
I'd recommend
beyond going in
very simple, actually. Just this afternoon, go on a walk and make one commitment to yourself that you're going to find something moving, poignant, beautiful, heart-touching on your walk. Just open yourself to that outrageous possibility and soften your eyes and walk in compassion. And then you'll pass an old woman who's struggling with her shopping and who is clearly lonely but brave, and you'll see her courage and you'll feel the beauty and power of her life and you'll feel joy. And that'll just be the beginning of your walk, because then you might notice that the sun is on the grass and the grass is so beautiful. Where is that beauty coming from? Is it just accidental, or is it the beauty saying to you, I am here?
It's the simplicity, isn't it? It's the simplicity that we have trained ourselves to overlook.
Absolutely. And that return to simplicity, being naked with what is, is the great return, which opens up joy and peace and energy and passion and deep courage on a level which we can't yet imagine. But if we connect with joy as the core, will be revealed to us. It is like that. Joy is the foundation, the power. But if you really cultivate it in all the ways that we're suggesting, and there are other gorgeous ways. Think of truly, truly devoting some time to reading Rumi, to reading the greatest love mystical poetry the world has ever, ever received. Everyone agrees on that. And anyone who's ever been in the presence of Rumi through the grace of reading him knows that if you can just create a space of silence and allow those astounding words to come to you, you experience a taste of your own essential self. And my God, the joy that will come to you. What about the joy that will come to you if you listen to a Bach fugue or Tina Turner or Aretha or Beethoven's Ninth? They will irradiate you with the power of joy. Those beings weren't blind. They lived in tormented times. They didn't lose hope. No. They knew that the universe was one in the one, and they poured themselves out to encourage and embolden and render us ecstatic with joy for life and gratitude for life. And that inspiration is available, isn't it?
It's interesting what you say is that when one can appreciate joy and be in a state of joy, you can look at the things that are not so great in life from a slightly different perspective. One person who does
totally
that very
different
well.
Perspective, because you're no longer scared of them. You know that they too serve love. They're part of love's alchemy. So if you stay as far as possible in joy, we're able to welcome them. They will reveal the gold in their dark to you. They will show you why they're there. And they're not there to kill and punish and maim and end the human adventure. And I'm talking about the great crises that we're in. They're there as a huge wake-up call, which we have to hear, as an immense invitation to get real about being really human, really coming together, really savvy, really practical, which means being radical and revolutionary and changing the whole structures of the world, because we are in immense, urgent, actual, terrifying danger of being wiped out by our own blindness, ignorance, hubris, and massive powers of denial.
Yes.
That's one side of it. But if you see the through grace, the glimpse of what she's up to, what the divine is up to in bitch slapping us like this, which is to give us access to wholly deeper levels of joy and truth and love and power and passion, to reveal to us who we actually really are, which are not slaves of time, slaves of the body, as misunderstood, slaves of convention, slaves of this world that has been created out of our ignorance of our essential nature. We're actually evolving divine human beings in the perfect situation designed to give us exactly what we need if we are open and brave enough to receive it. That's amazing shift of perspective, isn't it?
One person who always manages to shift my energy for me when I think about him and see his face is the Dalai Lama.
Oh, my God, yes.
Who has suffered tremendously and always is smiling and laughing. So that's the image that I would like to imprint in our viewers' minds as we go through some of the chapters in your book, some of the sections. Because if we can hold his laughing face in our minds, we'll be able to move through this and see the potential in it rather than seeing all of the fear in it. So let's talk a little bit about...
One thing, my darling, I think it's not the supreme expression for me of His Holiness is not his laughter, which is amazing. It's his smile.
Well,
the smile is so filled with, I know what you're going through. I know how dreadful it seems. It's not in the end as terrible as you think. In fact, it's amazing. But I'm going to be here with you through everything. But I'm going to be smiling because I know what's really being born.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing to have that smile alive for us in the world in a human being? And it is alive in him.
Yes.
That's his essence.
Absolutely.
So beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank let's you, talk Shirley. A little bit about the book. You know, Radical Regeneration, it includes, you know, practical maps of the Dark Night process and the four-part path to transfiguration, which is drawn from the secret depths of the mystical traditions. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, when you allow yourself to connect with the essential joy of life and realize that it is the truth by which all other things should be tested, when you get that, and anybody can get that, and if you commit yourself to a spiritual practice, you will be opened up to the reality of what is actually now happening on every level of our world. You'll be opened up to the reality that we are now in a moment of apocalypse. But apocalypse has two meanings. It means, on the one hand, total destruction of the old, but it also means, and this is so important to remember, it also means unveiling. And that unveiling is, of course, of the craziness of the dark choices that we've made, which put us into such extreme conditions. But it's also an unveiling at the heart of all of us of a wholly new level of possibility that could be born if we allowed our hearts to be broken at what's happening and broken open to the powers of divine transformation that are coming through that heartbreak to give us a wholly new kind of human identity, an identity that is saturated with divine love and power. Because finally, finally giving up to the divine our fantasy of separation.
Yeah, so we have to go through that to come out the other side to this, you know, and realize the potential that is awaiting us. Yeah.
If you feel the crisis as an insult and as a source of terror and paralysis, you are missing something amazing. And if you feel the crisis as an assignment that is saying to you personally, who are you going to be now? And what are you going to do? You may find out something unbelievably bigger and more beautiful about yourself because of this extreme crisis. And when you begin to suspect that actually you're far braver, far more luminous, far more loving, far more compassionate, far more wise than you imagined through the grace of God, and your life can be filled with far more good trouble inwardly and outwardly, and that you can really, as an ordinary human being, make an immense subtle difference and collaborate with the birth of a new humanity through making that subtle difference. Wow. Then the crisis doesn't become something you have to reel from. It's something that you have to kneel before to receive the messages that are coming out of it, the messages of becoming more real, more compassionate, more giving, more generous, more sincere, more intensely committed to your spiritual practice, more absolutely asking of yourself that you turn up in whatever actions you can make from where you are to help others. That's an amazing opportunity, isn't it? I see it so deeply like that. I've experienced it like that in my own life.
It is an incredible opportunity that we tend to overlook because we spend too much time worrying about all of the darker aspects that we see happening.
Instead of worrying about the darker aspects, see them as tremendous blessings because they are coming in full ferocity to say to us, you cannot go on in the way you've been going on, because if you do, you'll build yourself your tomb, and very, very fast, much faster than you think, because the climate is collapsing, pandemics are erupting, societies are being absolutely rent by the horrifying inequality between rich and poor. very dark people are in control of the sources of information and misinformation. It goes on and on and on. But if you see those things not as catastrophes only, but as warnings which contain in their warning the antidote, which is always claiming our divine truth, our divine identity, our divine power and joy, and going forward, knowing that something immense is afoot, nothing less than the birth of a wholly new way of being and doing everything. But it is afoot. It's here. Yes. We're part of it. We're doing it. This conversation is part of it.
Yeah.
What do you feel when you hear that?
You know, I've been right there with you, you know, throughout these last, you know, this last decade, and especially the last 5 years. You know, I've seen the potential. I've seen that we have to, in order to achieve that potential, we have to go through, you know, a number of things that may not feel very pleasant. But we have to do it because the rewards far, you know, this is the act of courage, isn't it? It's where you have to go into the fire in order to come out of it the other side renewed. And we have an opportunity to do that. You know, every system that's crashing that we bemoan has to crash for a reason.
You find the new block of stone for the new city, for the new world. Yeah. Find the reason. And there's always a reason, and it's always the same thing. It's always to do about power. It's always that the ideals of all of the different institutions and discoveries are corrupted by this passion for power over.
Yeah.
And if you find the lever that can transform that passion for power into a passion for love, for joy, for celebration, for sacred action that protects and honors all life, then you've been born into your true humanity. That's what it means to be a true human being. We all know that.
Yes.
Because in our best moments, we feel alive with that truth.
Yeah.
Don't you always do?
Amazes me how somebody can put wealth and power beyond something as, you know, something like love and joy, as you say, because those, they're such expansive emotions. You know, they give us so much in return.
That's what frightens people. I think everyone says they want love. Yes. Well, imagine what love can take you to. Do you really want it all? Then you're Jesus, then you're enlightened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody says they want joy, but are they prepared to clear away their own saboteurs of joy?
Exactly. Yeah.
Are they? Yeah. Are you willing to face how amazing you really are and how magnificent you can be when you're lit up with joy? I think that's what people are most terrified of facing, because if they do, they see their own beauty and they can never betray it again. They cannot betray the gift that God has given them of seeing their own brave, wild, holy face. And that people will do anything to avoid that. But part of the real spiritual path is to get you to be strong enough to see how strong you really are through the grace of what's been given to you originally.
I think the hardest part of what has been happening is how much we have been encouraged, I shall say, to not believe who we are, not see the love that we are, not express the whole thing about, you know, original sin has made us so many people feel I am bad, I am wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolute rubbish, and it's rubbish for one very, very good reason, that there could not be anything created by love that was not holy, blessed, holy, 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 sacred. It just couldn't be, because it couldn't be without love being in it and blessing it.
Absolutely. Right?
Once you see that, you realize that all of this teaching about original sin and all the other negative messages about humanity play directly into the hands of the dark. Yes. Because the real message should always have been from all of the religions, what it really is in the great mystics and prophets. And the real message is, you are divine. You've been given an original blessing of divine consciousness. Your mind is divine, your heart is divine, and your body is divine. Now, bring those three into unity through loving the source, love the one, and amazing things will be revealed to you about the nature of life, your own nature, the nature of every single human being, and the enormous possibilities of co-creative birthing that that gives the human being. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, this return to the love that we are is the journey that we're all on. And everything else, you know, seems to be designed to keep us from moving forward on that journey.
Until you realize that everything that's exploding and that's making you weird out is actually trying to help you to get real. So if you can develop a consciousness that can open to all of the fears, the shadows, the agonies of what you don't want to face about the world, then you realize they're helping you. They're helping you become more real, more naked, more in touch with the divine spirit within you, more committed to being joy in action. And that changes everything.
Well, we know from all the statistics, the research that's been done, that people get more joy out of being generous and giving to others, and they become healthier, they live longer, and
the rewards
are in that.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, I really would like to focus on somebody who is really struggling right now, how you would help them to begin to peel away the layers of what is not, you know, and start seeing what is. So we're going to take a short break. I'm Sandy Sedgemere. You're listening to What Is Going On. And my guest today is Andrew. I'm sorry.
Andrew Harvey.
And we're discussing Andrew's latest book, Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism and the Renewal of the World, which he co-wrote with Carolyn Baker. So we'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemere, host of Om Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked, what's really worth reading and what's not? So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who have walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees and no BS, just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus free book excerpts, audios and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only no BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club? Get inspired and save money at the nobsspiritualbookclub.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Andrew Harvey, I want to talk about sacred activism, but before we do, I want to touch on your book, Radical Passion. Andrew, are you there? Have we lost Andrew?
Hello?
Andrew, are you there?
I'm absolutely here.
Good, good. Okay.
My darling, how lovely. I'm enjoying this conversation so, so much. I hope you are.
I am indeed. Yeah. Who wouldn't? I mean, look at the smile on my face. I want to talk about
the smile that you've invoked, the smile of the Dalai Lama, and it's becoming contagious. I hope everybody's beginning to smile that's listening to us, because you and I both know this is a very, very serious situation. We need that smile.
You do.
Yeah.
So I want to talk, before we talk about sacred activism and how we can become sacred activists, I want to talk about your 2012 book, Radical Passion, Sacred Love and Wisdom, because you were lauded in that book for bridging the great divide between spiritual resignation and engaged spiritual activism. Now, that term, spiritual resignation, it's an interesting term. And another that we seem to be hearing a lot of lately is spiritual bypassing. Are the two the same?
Well, I think they're definitely dark sisters, yes. I think spiritual resignation comes from a radically poor experience of divine love. Because if you've ever had any kind of sustained connection with love in its purest form, resignation isn't an option, because you know the power of that love, the magnificence of that love, the omnipotence of that love, and you know that that love is ultimate reality. So resignation doesn't come up. And then what is essential always is to connect to that primordial love. Then everything is put into perspective.
A lot of people like to think that they are awake and spiritual, whatever that means.
Can we talk about bypass? Because that's the second.
Yeah, it's just what I was going to say. Yes.
Think it's because the first is very important to recognize as a real limitation and to go through it. The second arises out of terror, because as the path becomes real, you begin to suspect that becoming your true self involves, unfortunately, a death to all those habits, conventions, self-limitations, bad ways of thinking about yourself, traumas, karmas, the whole enchilada of the shadow. And many people find that too terrifying, so construct a completely fake spirituality which honors their appetites and desires just as they are and doesn't involve anything painful or terrifying or real. And that buys into the complete fantasy culture that we inhabit. It's part of the cancer of fantasy that has taken over the human race, which is entertaining itself to death as the very moment when it faces death. That's as mad as it is. So to stop spiritually bypassing, you just have to face life. You just have to face that life is the guru. And life has loss in it, impermanence in it, betrayal in it, all kinds of deeply weird things in it, but that all of them are your friends because they are teaching you humility and compassion and universal forgiveness and love and commitment to put your whole being into becoming love and joy in action. So they're all blessings, terrible graces.
What was the most pivotal moment for you, your life path, where you really experienced and understood that love, you know, on such a deep, visceral level? Because I'm sure many of us don't even get near to it.
I think all of us have had experiences of it. I think people have been initiated in dreams without knowing it. I think people have had unbelievable experiences just sitting, sipping a martini, waiting for a lover. I think people have tasted that bliss, but they've not had any help to identify it or to live to align to it. So I wouldn't say only a few people have tasted this bliss. I think everybody's tasted it, but some have got drunk on it. And that's the difference, right?
Do you think that society, you know, kind of conditions us to not understand what love is?
Absolutely, because if you're living in a fundamentalist mindset, if you're religious, if you're living in a fundamentalist scientist perspective, if you are a materialist, you're missing everything. So that means 98% of people on the earth are living in mental concentration camps, which stop them dancing in the green grass outside the wires. Mm-hmm. And it's that has to be overcome. It's all the bad news that's born out of fear and guilt and shame and cruelty and sadism and the exercise of power without morality, all of that is trying to say to us, you're worthless, when in fact it's our abandonment of our true gorgeous worth that made all of that possible. And it can undo what it has done if we realize what we're capable of being. But going to that truth demands that we take the path seriously, and there's no bypassing on the path. You've got to learn how to die, how to give up your fantasy of separation, your fantasy of being special, your fantasy of knowing anything essentially that is unique or amazing, and allow yourself to be guided by love itself in absolute humility and adoration, which is dying, 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 dying. Every time you say with devotion a mantra to the divine, you make a commitment to leap out of your ego into the most vulnerable, the most tender, the child that's wise and holy inside you, which is saying that love word to love itself. That's dying. And a lot of that has to go on for the reality of who you are to be given to you. Because if it was given to you when you felt powerful and amazing about yourself, you do with it like you did everything you ever did with the ego, you'd use it for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you can only receive the diamond of your essential nature when you've had the crap beaten out of you about yourself. Yeah. About all of the different kinds of ways you think you're amazing and special and fabulous and or uniquely victimed or uniquely abused, any of the fantasies of the ego, they've all got to go before you can be held responsible to hold the truth of your divine identity. And that's the path. And that's a wonderful, holy, amazingly precise blessing path. It saves you from yourself. But in order to be saved from yourself, you have to allow the divine to do whatever it needs to do to wake you up to what yourself really is and what you need to heal and work on and pray for grace to deal with. Isn't that true for all of us in every situation? It seems to me to be true.
Yes. Yeah. Radical regeneration does a wonderful job of laying out what is happening, how we got here, what we need to do to change things, and the steps along the way to everything that you're talking about. Right. You know, this how do we, I mean, what do we need to do? What do we
it's
need
a manual,
to address?
Darling. Sandy, it's a manual.
It is a manual. It's a handbook.
For 5 years,
yeah.
Sweated to get it as accessible, as clear, or the maps as clear, as universal, reaching out to every human being who wants this information. It is a manual. Everything I've been saying in this, I hope, exciting and inspiring way, is actually grounded in real practice and real steps and real maps in this book. That was our work, to give that level of precise information on all the levels of wisdom that we have available for us to make this transition. So we plunged into the essential mystical wisdom of evolution. We plunged into the essential scientific breakthroughs of quantum physics and what they reveal to us about the universe. We plunged into the essential scientific discoveries of unbelievable powers of animal consciousness that can correspond to the mystics' knowledge of that and the shaman's knowledge of that and give us a wholly new way of relating to our own animal, the animal creation and its beauty and majesty and power and in its brilliance that can help us, that can teach us if we give us our fantasies. All of these are radiating towards us now as regenerating powers for our whole being. And that's what we put into the book, that manual of how to do this. And it's very down home.
It is. And one of the most beautiful parts of it is the part on transmutation. You know, the
on
birth,
transmutation.
Yeah, the birth of the divine human. Right. And how we all have that potential. And we're looking at, you know, the new humans that are emerging now.
Yes.
Some of these kids of today, it just, you know.
Well, look at Greta Thunberg. I'd rest my case. This woman is the most important spiritual teacher on the planet. She's telling truth in the boldest, most brave, most kind, but most unrelenting way. What a perfect tone and what a perfect witness to love. And she's not doing it out of outrage only. She's doing it out of immense love for humanity, immense love for young people, immense love for even the crazy people she has to meet with every day, because she knows they are in a psychosis, in a wetiko, in a fantasy, and she's trying to reach them too.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? And look at her. She's 21, isn't she?
Something like that.
Yes.
Been on the scene since she was about 14 or 15 and just
and there are many
has far more maturity.
Like that, but there are many young, I meet them. They are here. The new human is here. Let's face it.
Absolutely here.
Increasingly liberated women. Women who are really coming into their power despite all the madness of the patriarchy. It's here in the great growth of understanding of the nature, sacred nature of homosexuality, and allowing and celebrating the happiness of homosexual people. It's here in the increasing attention to transgender rights despite all the horror and the abuse. So there is a new human being released from sex hatred, body hatred, awake to the predicament of where we are, with a universal heart longing to be in a relationship with the whole of creation. That human being is here. And I've met him and her, and they're between 20 and 35. They're here.
Yeah. And it is so wonderful to hear young people saying, you know, when people ask them about their sexual orientation, you know, I go where the love is.
What a thought. Yeah. It's perfect. And that, don't underestimate how amazing that is. Mm-hmm. Finally, a truth larger than distinctions being offered to the human race. The truth of love. The truth is that nobody has any idea about their sexuality until the end of their journey. It may have gone through many different rivers before it reaches the sea. The sea is love itself. So your sexual journey is bound to be a crazy, ragged, messed up, but sincere version of a search for love itself.
So as an elder, when you... when you look at these, you know, these young people, you must have a tremendous feeling of warmth that when you leave this place, you're leaving it in good hands.
Well, first of all, as an elder, I'm totally thrilled. I feel like Grandpa was right. It was possible. It's here. You're here. How amazing you are. So first thing I want to do is to kiss them all over, which I can't. I have to restrain myself. So I'm so grateful. And the second thing is that I learn from them. Yeah. They are my teachers. I listen to how they see things, what they're seeing, how they phrase what they're seeing, because there are great jewels there. They're very far on. They've got a very high level of evolution already. So they formulate things in ways I've never heard and which I need to learn from. And their commitment is so totally to joy and to bringing in a world of joy, which they know means a world of justice, which they know means a joy, a world of healing and of equality. They know that. They know that naturally. And they are tremendous beings. They are also fragile. They need their elders, but they don't need their elders to tell them what to do. They need their elders just to say, look here, you might find some help here. Here's a great map. Here are some practices that will give you strength when you need it. And if you approach them like that, like they'll be so excited that they have tools. The elder's job is to provide the tools for the great work that they are rising up to do. And I hope that my book and Carolyn's book will be a manual for them. That's why we dedicated the book to them.
To Greta, you dedicated it to her and the others, yeah.
And absolutely. The others, we're dedicating it to them. This is what we as elders found out. It's dedicated to all human beings, whatever their age, but especially the ones who are ready and are waking up and are strong and are joyful and are beginning to do the immense work that's necessary with real courage and joy. Look at the Iranian women. My God, these are 17-year-olds, 18-year-old girls brought up in this demented, repressive Islam. Imagine what they had to go through. And here they are risking their lives on the streets saying, this has got to stop. We don't care what we have to go through, but this is over. You're not going to treat women. You're not going to treat the feminine like this anymore, ever. This is the first female-led revolution in history. It's a major mystical, spiritual, political event. We have to pray for their success and
really we have to support
pressure the governments to do everything they can to support this amazing courage. But we need to take flame from that courage too. It's going on everywhere, this rising of the yeast of the new human, isn't it?
I mean, we're seeing it all, aren't we? We're seeing it all play out. We're seeing the worst of it. We're seeing the best of it.
Right. And but the really important thing, darling, and I'm sorry to be bossy about this, but that's why we wrote the book. What we really wrote the book for is to give people what we call birth eyes. You can easily get, if you're half awake and half intelligent, death eyes. You just have to walk or turn on the TV. Obviously, a whole way of being is being systematically unraveled and destroyed. Let's all as adults agree about that. And anything at all can happen. We know this. Any war can happen, and nuclear war could happen. Craziness is afoot. Destruction is afoot. That's obvious. Once you get over your denial, once you get over your fantasy, once you get over your desire to protect yourself and you have some fantasy that you're not in this world that's being destroyed, that becomes real. But what's more important for our survival, in fact, essential for our survival, is the birth eyes. And those eyes know three things because they've been initiated by divine love. They know that the agony and the crucifixion are necessary for the resurrection. They know that that's the law of the dark night. And they know that God is in control, love is in control, and will do unspeakably difficult, frightening things to purify, to clarify, to take out the darkness that we have made too much love with. And that is terrifying. Accept it. That's the first thing that birth eyes know. The second thing they know is that love is doing the operation, so it's all precise. And if you can hang in there with trust and radiate compassion and help as you can, you'll be given that equilibrium that understands beyond understanding that love is doing it. And with a precision that is matchless, because with an intelligence that is all comprehensive, knows what needs to be done. And the third thing that birth eyes have is an absolute famished, exuberant joy at all the green shoots of the new life that are already appearing in hundreds of thousands of people who are feeling embodied increasingly, because there's been a huge opening to the sacredness of the body in the last 30, 40 years. That's here. We've got amazing sacred activists turning up in every realm of the world. Not enough, of course. And not yet making the transforming impact they have to make, but so many giving so much to inspire us to give more so we can know their purpose, their meaning, their joy. We have Iranian women fighting for democracy. In fact, a huge new tide of fighting for democracy arising in response to the mad authoritarian dream that so many have been dreaming for the last decades. This is a time of enormous showing of the birth for those who've got the eyes to see. And it's so important to develop those eyes, because they'll give you the guts, the courage, the joy, the clarity, the passion, the stamina to keep going on through an evolutionary process of massive birthing through massive dying.
And there are so many wonderful movements starting too. I mean, Irving Laszlo's Upshift movement, Patricia Aubert with her, it's a evolutionary relationship.
Wonderful person.
It's all there for us.
It's all available for us, more and more than we ever imagined. That's been the joy of my life. We began in joy, so let's end in joy. You know, the joy of my life, Sandy, is that, despite myself, I've been led by God to experience the greatest possible joys that I could imagine ever experiencing, and get to experience them too, not just as a gift, but as a challenge and as a revelation of what's possible in evolution through God's grace, how far human beings can be transformed by joy if they just allow it to. Drive them forward.
Well, let me say in closing...
Drive is the wrong word. To enchant them forward.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that I want to say in closing that your book gave me great joy. And I hope it will bring many others great joy. Andrew Harvey, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And thank you for this book. It truly is, as I said before, the, as far as I'm concerned, definitive book for our time.
Oh, thank you.
So, Radical Regeneration, Sacred Activism and the Renewal of the World by Andrew Harvey and Carolyn Baker is part of the Sacred Planet book collection published by Inner Traditions. For more information about the book, Andrew Harvey's work and his Institute for Sacred Activism, visit andrewharvey.net. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back with another edition of What Is Going On at the same time next week. And until then, it's goodbye from me and a heartfelt thank you to Andrew Harvey.
Thank you, dear heart. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.